Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we have a very special show for all of you today. It's our, continuation after year after year after year. We've come to the National Western Stock Show for 3 or 4 years.
In Denver, Colorado.
Yes, and it's a big deal for Colorado.
It is a big deal.
Yeah.
My dad used to take us out of school for a week every year go to the Denver National Livestock Show. And he used to show horses, and the one he always wanted to win was Denver.
Yep.
He had the best halter record in the history of the American Quarter Horse Association. He stands third place in Denver, and he's so ticked about it. We're staying at a preacher's house. My dad hates to lose. And so he's so ticked about it, and they were trying to console him, you know.
Yeah,
of course, he's not temperamental, but you could tell he's having to pull up all the time. And the guy says, well, at least you won third. There were 100 horses in the class, and you won third. And Dad says, I'll tell you what I feel about third place. And he gets up, he takes that yellow ribbon and goes down the hallway, flushes it down the toilet.
Oh, my gosh.
It was kind of a quiet dinner after that.
Oh, my gosh. He had the best one in his
his
perspective.
But the two horses at beating had stood second and third to him forever. Never beat him ever in their life, but they did at Denver.
That's funny. Well, we're going to have some great music.
Yes. Aubrey Bullock is one of my favorite girls that we have on here. We have, if you've watched Cowboy Church for a long time, she's been with us several times, and just a sweet, graceful young lady.
She is a mom. She's a mom now, wife. And we're also going to have Steve and Rhonda Desmond. Ah, wonderful, wonderful singers.
That's one of your favorite singers.
And our special speaker is Adolph Kurz IV, and he's a native, of course, of here of Colorado. What's he speaking on?
He's the freedom of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. It could also be the prison or confinement of unforgiveness, and how to get from the one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how to get freedom and get out of the bars of prison, as it were. And the guy has just a phenomenal story about the process. If you're dealing with forgiveness, man, this is a great day to begin the process. It has to start with a decision, and you'll see that in the testimony today.
Yeah.
But forgiveness gives you freedom. I mean, if you live where you just are a person of forgiveness, I guarantee your life is better. Well, you'll learn more about it. I don't want to preach his message, but I'm excited about this. The freedom of forgiveness. Welcome to Cowboy Church. Hey, we'd like to welcome Miss Aubrey Bullock, as you know her, but it's now Aubrey Bullock
Kneeper. Yep.
And if you've been here before and you know who she is, you'll know that you want to either push pause if you need to leave the room, or stay until she gets done. This girl can, as they say in Oklahoma, this girl can what? Sing.
She can sing.
Sing.
Yeah. Come on, Aubrey, let's hear it.
Not planning our day around the TV sets, paying our bills and staying out of debt. That's important to me. Yeah, that's important to me. Opening the windows and letting in air, holding hands when we're saying a prayer. That's important to me. Yeah, that's important to me. Having somebody to share my life, loving my husband and being a wife, and the very best mother I can be. That's important to me. Telling the truth and being for real, feeding my family a home-cooked meal. That's important to me. that's important to me. Planting a garden and watching it grow. Keeping it country on the radio, that's important to me. Yeah, that's important to me. Always having you to hold, being beside you when we grow old. As they plant us next that big oak tree, that's important to me. Take us somewhere, still being ourselves if we ever get there. That's important to me. Yeah, that's important to me. Yeah, that's important to me. That's important to me. That's important to me.
Thank you, guys.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
Did you know your baby boy has come to
this child that you delivered will soon deliver you?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day heal a blind man?
Oh, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand?
Did you know your baby boy has walked where angels trod?
When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb.
Mary, did you know that your baby is Lord of all creation?
Oh, Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations?
Did you know your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb?
and the sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Oh, yes.
For our inspirational message today on Cowboy Church, we're having a man who has a wonderful story to tell you. His name is Adolph Kurz IV, right here from Colorado, a big family that has been here for many, many years. And we pray that his life, his story, will inspire you today.
I want to ask you a question now as I begin my time with you. And I want you to think about this as I speak to you this morning. Has someone hurt you deeply? Perhaps yesterday, maybe a year ago, or maybe even a lifetime ago. No, you didn't deserve it. You just can't seem to forget it. The terrible pain lingers in your heart. And the memory haunts your mind. And just when you think that you have forgotten the pain, it crops up again. You don't know what makes you keep remembering it. You say to yourself, I didn't deserve this. Instead of forgetting the hurt, it festers over time and continues to grow. And every day it oozes out a little more poison into your life. It literally poisons your system physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Unfortunately, time does not heal unforgiven hurts. They just sort of lay there, and their venom keeps spewing out day after day after day. This was my life. It snowed the afternoon of February 8th, 1960. It was a hard, quick, heavy snow that swept down from the highest peaks of the majestic Colorado Rockies to race across the foothills as winter storms often do. Strong winds drive the high white clouds over the mountain ridges and deposit huge snowdrifts among the pine and the aspen trees. There were those who insist that this particular storm left the smell of death in the air. The foresight was proven true by the memory of events that followed just hours after that storm. Men and women, we are most like beasts when we kill. We are most like men when we judge. But we are most like God when we forgive. The morning of February 9th, 1960 was cold and overcast. Around 7:55 a.m., my dad, Adolph Kurz III, finished his breakfast and said goodbye to my mom. He then climbed into his green and white station wagon. As was the custom, he was dressed in a white sports shirt, dark gray pants, his favorite blue jacket, and his tan baseball cap. Dad was suspecting a busy but routine day as he pulled out of our driveway. A quick glance in his rearview mirror revealed one last look at the large two-story home that he had designed and helped build 2 years earlier. Then began the 12-mile journey to the Adolph Kurz Company, located in Golden, Colorado, not too far from where we sit today. My father was chief executive officer of the Adolph Kurz Company, the brewery founded almost a century earlier by his grandfather, Adolph Hermann Joseph Kurz, a German immigrant. On this snowy morning, my father avoided his usual direct route, knowing that a section of U.S. Highway 285 was being repaired. Instead, he drove his station wagon onto a small dirt road that led to a narrow wooden bridge crossing Turkey Creek, just south of the town of Morrison. A tiny bridge was scarcely wide enough to allow two cars to pass. And as he approached, at the other end of that tiny bridge was a man looking under the hood of his automobile. Dad pulled up behind this man's car and got out and walked over to help his assistance, to offer his assistance. However, this man did not want any help. He had been waiting for my dad, had been planning this very encounter for the past 2 years. What was determined later is that a tremendous struggle ensued on that tiny bridge. Dad apparently overpowered his assailant and began running back to his car. Gunshots rang out and my father fell to the ground, two bullets lodged in his back. Joseph Corbett, an escaped prisoner from California, dragged my father's body back to his car, opened up the trunk and hoisted the body inside. He closed the trunk and at 8:15 a.m., drove away. Dad's car, with the motor still running and the radio softly playing, was a few yards away. The Jefferson County Sheriff's Department was immediately called to the scene, and not long after this, at the request of my family, the FBI was called in to begin to put the grisly pieces of what might have happened on that tiny bridge just a few hours earlier. Soon after Dad's disappearance, my mom began to receive numerous ransom and phone calls and notes in the mail. The FBI immediately moved into our home to protect us. Every day I was driven to and from school with an FBI director in my car. Suddenly on March 30th, a month after my father vanished, the FBI switched on the national spotlight. There was a man the agents wanted to question regarding my father's disappearance. The man Joseph Corbett was added to the FBI's 10 most wanted list. And the FBI issued a public statement citing, "We want this man more than we wanted John Dillinger." And this began, ladies and gentlemen, one of the nation's largest manhunts. They soon circulated over 1.5 million pictures of Joseph Corbett nationwide. On August 1st, 1955, Joseph Corbett escaped from a prison in Chino, California, where he had been serving 10 years for the murder of a hitchhiker in December of 1950. He was also suspected of killing his mother in 1949. Now, 5 years later, the FBI had good reason to link him to this Colorado mystery. Corbett left his Capitol Hill apartment in a hurry early on the morning of February 10th, the day after my dad vanished. That very same day, my mom received a ransom note instructing her to come up with $500,000 and a place to place an ad in the Denver Post classified section for a 1957 Model 820 John Deere tractor, once she had the money. 5 days later, my family placed that ad, offering the tractor for sale, but ladies and gentlemen, strangely, nobody answered that ad. On February 17th, just 8 days after my dad disappeared, Joseph Corbett, 1951 Yellow Mercury, was found burning in an Atlantic City, New Jersey dump site. The FBI traced the car to Joseph Corbett, alias Walter Osborne, right here in Denver. That same day, Joseph Corbett fled to Toronto, Canada, where he remained for the next half year. For 7 long and agonizing months, my friends, my family didn't know whether my dad was alive or was he possibly dead. I, along with my mom and 2 older sisters and my younger brother, all held out that faint hope that Dad someday would return to his waiting family. Then on September 11th, 1960, 7 months after Dad's kidnapping, Mom received a call that we all dreaded would finally come. And that call came from the Douglas County Sheriff's Office informing her that earlier that day, a 30-year-old man searching for a place to shoot targets 40 miles south of here came across the remains of my dad. They were located in a thickly wooded dump site near the base of Devil's Head Peak. My dad, just 45 years old, was never coming home to his loving family again. I was 14 years of age. I lost the dad that I admired and loved so much. Men and women, listen to what I say now. It's been aptly said that life does not shout, it just runs out sooner than we think. On August 31st, 1960, after seeing his follow in a Toronto newspaper, Corbett fled to Vancouver, Canada, 2,500 miles to the west. Then 3 months later, on November 29th, 1960, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and FBI agents burst into a Vancouver apartment where Corbett meekly surrendered. The only words he could mutter were, "I'm your man. I'm your man." He was soon returned to Denver to stand trial for the murder of Adolph Coors III. And on March 29, 1961, after deliberating for 16 hours, a jury of 8 men and 4 women found Joseph Corbett guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced him to life in the Colorado State Penitentiary.
Well, it's really, really nice to hear a story where someone pours their heart into it. It's a real story. It's something that they have lived through and that where God has worked in many, many ways. Well, you're going to hear the conclusion to Mr. Coors's very, very heartfelt story. I mean, that's something he lived through.
Yes.
And you're going to hear the conclusion next week right here on Cowboy Church.
And I'm so excited to tell you that God's grace is big enough, not only for him, but it's big enough for you. It's big enough for me, and it's big enough for all of us together. We can be forgiven, and we can walk in forgiveness.
That's right.
It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to say.
That's right. So let us know what you think about our programs. Write to us at the address on your screen. You can email us. You can contact us through Facebook. But we want to say thank you for your support, because without your financial support, we wouldn't be here on Cowboy Church for you. There's many people, Russ, that are shut-ins. There's people that can't go to church because of COVID. They depend on this church to be their church on Sunday mornings. And we thank you for your support. God bless you, and we'll see you from the National Western Stock Show next week on Cowboy Church.